ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Please, this morning, the people on the council, thank you for all that you do. But you will help me by just some of the scriptures I'm going to quote. Just give me in at least one or two other translations for the sake of understanding and clarity. He said, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they sat out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Can we read another one or two other translations? So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. One more translation. They were up early in the morning, ready to march into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were leaving, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, listen, Judah and Jerusalem, listen to what I have to say. Believe firmly in God, your God, and your lives will be firm. Believe in your prophets, and you will come out on top. Praise God. I titled this Effective Prayers. Effective Prayers. Effective Prayer. 2020 is beckoning on us with great expectation. But there is need for us to start as individuals and then corporately to prepare towards that strategic year. Many narratives, this is by the word of the Lord now, many narratives will change concerning our nation, Nigeria. And then we will see things happening across the world. But for you and I, God is delighted in our favorable outcome. Not just for that year 2020, but also in the new decade. So when it comes to God, preparation is a spiritual principle in getting ourselves ready for God's experience moment in his appointed time. So, preparation is a spiritual principle. Even in the management, you have those P's, five P's. A proper preparation prevents poor performance in the marketplace. So when it comes to God, when it comes to his agenda, because see, God is a God of order. God is not an author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:40. So, God planned. I mean, the whole universe, heaven and earth, everything that you see was planned out. There was chaos. There was darkness. But in the midst of that, God didn't dwell on the chaos. He didn't dwell on the darkness. So he spoke the word because the word has the power and the capacity to create things. So preparation is a spiritual principle. What a lot of believers, well, maybe sizable believers, what some people believe is that God is so powerful that he can just do anything that he will at any time. But God requires your preparation. He requires your alignment. In Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17, 1. No, 16, 1, please. 16, 1. I'm sorry for that. It said, the preparations of the heart belong to man. So, preparation is a spiritual principle. I mean, in the natural, you don't want to go and write a test and say, God, we do it. Or the Holy Spirit will inspire you. There is an element in writing an exam. There is an element that you must engage for a predictable outcome. So the preparations of the heart belong to man. But he says the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Can we have another translation? Go ahead and make all the plans you want. But it is the Lord who will ultimately direct your steps. But hey, you still have to make the plan. That's the message. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So in making the plans, we need to engage prayers. Prayer, conversation with God. So preparation, it's a spiritual principle. What most people also do, maybe in our own part of the world, is to just look for a nearby church that they want to run into 5 minutes to 12 midnight. It's already too late. And if you are trying to get ready, when you are supposed to be ready, you are already too late for any opportunity. As a matter of fact, this is the way I like to see it. It's like the whole, it's not like that, but I want to jokingly say that the trunk of heaven will be jammed that day. So why not separate yourself from the Lord? And hey, it's our religious thinking that things at 12 midnight here is just transition into the new year. Some people have already transited ahead of us. And some people will transit behind us. So, but what am I saying this morning? There is need for preparation. If you walk with God as a believer in Christ, you must prepare to meet your God. That's what Amos said. There is a measure of what God will do in our lives, which is the absolute measure, but there is our response. In Psalm 116, I think verse 15. Psalm 115, verse 16. What does this say? No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the heavens. Even the heavens belongs to God, but the heart he has. Yeah, that's it. Psalm 115. So it's verse 16, please. So the heavens are the Lord's. But the heart he has given, this is simply giving us an understanding that whatever we want to see here on earth, hey, that authority, that privilege, that exousia, that delegated power has been given to man. Praise God. I say praise the Lord. So, preparation is our readiness for a future event. But with God, it comes with a predictable outcome. You need to walk through 2020 before you get into 2020. Prayer preparation is an essential element as we look forward to 2020. Prayer preparation, your prayer preparation. One of the things we have also encouraged as part of our religious life in our own part of the world is that we would rather want somebody to, because prayer is work. Prayer, there's no way I can compare it to strategic thinking, but strategic thinking in the business balance is work. So prayer is also work. An architect sitting down, when you give them a brief, they sit down to design, it is also work. A quantity surveyor will come in to cost. That is also work. So you can't get something tangible out of your experience with God if you will not give yourself to prayer. That's what I'm saying. So prayer is an essential element as we move into 2020. Proverbs 16 again. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 3. Prayer preparation. He said, the preparations of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And verse 3 now talks about it. He said, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And how do you commit your work? It's through prayer engagement, prayer conversation. Can we read it in other translations? Just one more, please. He said, go ahead and make all the plans you want, but it is the Lord who will ultimately direct your steps. We are all in love with our own opinions, convinced that they are correct, but the Lord is in the midst of us, testing and probing our motive. Before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself. Then every plan you make will succeed. Jeremiah 29:11, still talking about preparation, prayer preparation. Jeremiah 29:11, we read 11 to verse 13. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts, verse 11, for I know the thoughts, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, not says our economy, not says our president. Men, we make promises and they fail. Men, we give us assurances and they don't keep up to their expectation. But God says, my own kind of dealing with my people is that I know the thoughts that I think towards them. Thought of peace and not evil. To give them a future and a hope. So 2020, it's already in God's hand. It's just a speck of eternity. He said, then in case we don't know, he said, you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm just so glad that God, the God that we deal with, is a God who answers prayer. I mean, Isaiah, somewhere in Isaiah, he said, he's the strength of those who learn to turn the battle to his gate. Somewhere, he said, he's the one who justifies us. Somewhere, he's the one who is our justice. So, he said, we will call, we will seek him, and then we will find him. And then we will search for him with all our heart. Let's read one of that translation concerning that. He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. I love this. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. He said, when you called on me, then when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, I want it more than any other thing. Praise God. Before you pick your phone to call people, when lives throw stuff at you, learn to call upon God. When you learn to call upon him, he said, he will not hide himself. He will not hide himself. Praise God. There's another scripture again on that. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It said, call to me. Call to me. Please let me turn to your neighbor this morning and charge them. Do you have God's number? Yeah. I mean, we need to ask ourselves. I will give you those. It's a 5-digit number I will give you very soon. Do you have it? I'm not like those prophets from East Africa who says they are calling God during a service. This one is authentic. Praise God. You know all the funny things that people do in the name of our faith. How can somebody pick a Nokia phone and say he's calling God? He say, God, Papa God. Let's go. Say, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. One other translation, please. He said, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out. He didn't say call on the prophet. He didn't say go get an intermediary. Go use the prayer contractor. He said you have access to me. He said call to me. Hebrews chapter 4, which is another one, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16. He said, let us walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy and then accept the help. When we get into hindrances to answer effective prayer, you know that pride is one of them, which means self-dependence. But he says, hey, come. Can you flip it back? I want to read verse 16. He said, take the mercy and accept the help. Let's read one other translation. Say, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It's not a throne of condemnation. It's the throne of grace. He said we should come boldly, not cowardly. We should come with confidence that God answers prayer. We should come with confidence that our own prayers will be answered. You know, some people believe that, fine, it's good to have faith that way. Some people believe that when Pastor Falake prays, God will answer her. Or when Minister Akin pray, God will answer him. Or when Sister Doyin pray, because Sister Doyin is a powerful prayer warrior. In fact, when she starts praying, the whole seats around her vibrate. So when she pray, God will answer. No, it says, let us therefore come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. So the throne of grace is your positional authority that you have with God. And in that throne, there are two things that you can easily, that you easily have access to. One is the grace of God and then the mercy of God. Maybe something is disturbing your relationship and you think grace cannot handle it. Mercy will handle it. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, prayer preparation is our communication, dialogue, or conversation with God, where his power is activated. When I say his power, I mean his wisdom, knowledge, understanding, where his power is activated for the believers to get things done in this kingdom. So, prayer preparation is our communication, it's our dialogue, it's our conversation with God, God our Father. The word Father means Abba, Abba Father, Abba, means, which means source. So prayer preparation is our communication with the source, is our dialogue with the source, is our conversation with God, where God's power is activated. When I say God's power, I mean his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding for the believer in Christ to get things done in his kingdom. Effective prayer, if it's going to be effective, that word effective has one goal. It must be result-oriented. You don't pray for the sake of praying. Because you are supposed to pray morning, afternoon, and evening. No. The goal of your conversation, the goal of your engagement with God in the place of prayer is to get answers. If you are sure that you are not going to get answers, don't pray. That's why it's very important. I will get into it very soon. One of the digits is that you must build your persuasion in the Word of God before you even open your mouth to pray. In other words, you must come to that point where you believe his promises. Every promises of God, which are yes and amen, you believe it before you even open your mouth to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for this because it is in your word. So if you don't have persuasion, don't just use words. Prayer involves activities. And a lot of the times, people just engage in those activities. Activities like fasting, activities like reading the word, activities like praying in other tongues. And no, but the goal whether you are praying in other tongues, whether you are reading the word, whether you are fasting, whether you are meditating in the word, the goal or the end point for each and every one of us is that, hey, on this point, I want answer to this petition. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. So prayer preparation. So the reason why I'm teaching this morning, you must engage it in your own life as regard 2020, and then corporately we will engage it. Praise God. So for the corporate one to be effective, you must know how you want to do it as it applies to yourself. So effective prayer must be result-oriented. So our goal in prayer, each time we pray, is not on the activities. Because sometimes when time passes, what people make reference to is the activities. I remember I was on a 100-day fast. What is the result of that 100 days? What is the result of the 1 day? What is the result of the 3 days? Oh, I did dry fast. So what is the result? I did fasting by fruit. What is the result? So a lot of the time, people focus on the activity. Activity is not bad because you have to engage it. You have to pray and then read the word. You have to pray and meditate in the word. You have to pray. And then probably sometimes when you are separating yourself in the preparation of your heart, it may come with fasting. But hey, the goal, the end point of all those things is that what is the result that I'm getting out of this experience or engagement or conversation with God? Praise God. So in our text today, we saw something in the life of Jehoshaphat. If you can get back home, it's not that if you can get back home, you must get back home. And read the old chapter. Jehoshaphat is just like you and I. There are things that are happening in his life. And to the fact that as a king, it was like a leader that other people looked up to. And so there was a situation that will wipe the whole territory under him. So he was faced with a very challenging situation. And if something is not done, it has the tendency not only to affect him, but to affect the territory. And this thing, this onslaught, it's not just from another, if it's just one king, who is in opposition, it's a combination of three kings who have hammers, armor bearers, who has warriors, who has hammery. It's not just so, how do I say this for us to understand it? It's a situation, but this is not legal, so let me not use that example. But it's a situation where every country in Africa is about to get to war with Nigeria. Or every country in the world. Okay, I have a very beautiful story. Every country that has surrounded Israel as a nation, in that small portion of the land, there was a time they had war. So the missiles were flying everywhere. It's when you have an alternative, then you can make certain alternative plans. But this one, they close in on them. So that was the situation. And sometimes in life, it's like that. In our career paths, in our businesses, in our families, even in among the community, there are situations that comes up. Maybe you are in business. Maybe your competition is giving you a hard time. Maybe you are in your career path. Maybe the job description and the timelines, they are just crushing in on you. So Jehoshaphat found himself in such a situation. And what did he do? He engaged God. And he got seven things. Number one, he fought his fears. He fought his fear. Three kings came against him in battle, in unison. But he engaged divine intervention. And he played. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning. You have an area of strength in God. Your ability to be able to commune with God. And your ability to be able to be linked with the source of heavens and earth. Your ability that your words in prayer carry weight in three different levels. In heaven, here on earth, and underneath the heart. So, Jehoshaphat fought his fears. Verses 2 and 3 talks about that. Kings came. I mean, there was a threat. It was like, hey, there was no way. But instead of losing his strength to the situation and circumstances, he assessed God. So he fought his fear. Secondly, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. I think Psalm 34 verse 19 talks about this. Many may be the afflictions of the righteous, but he said the Lord delivered him out of them all. And then verse 20 says, the Lord, when he delivers, is not delivered that you are broken. He said he keeps all his bones and not one is broken. So no matter what you are facing today, as we get into 2020, seek the Lord. So Jehoshaphat, played to the area of his strength. He fought his fear. A lot of the time, people don't even go beyond that level. They just chicken out and give in. And Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus made the principle. He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. One translation says, and not caving under pressure. So men ought always. Men there speaks of male and female. It just talks about maturity. Many other people may be complaining. Many other people may be speaking evil. But there must be that inner decision. You seek the Lord. Jeremiah says, when you seek him, you find him. Whatever it is that you have in your hand, prayer engagement means that you put it, that's what is called petition. Last week, Philippians 4 that we look at from the Message translation, he said, let all your worries be sharpened into prayers. Firstly, he fought his fear. Secondly, he sought the Lord. Thirdly, he brought in synergy. He engaged other people, prophets and all the people around him. Synergy. So I believe that in the place of prayer, sometimes God will tell you what to do. Go talk to this person. Or engage this person in a conversation. Or, hey, there is this book. So he engaged. He didn't just fight those things alone. You see it in other verses. He engaged other people. He called for prophets. He called for people. So he brought in synergy. And in the midst of that experience, because they introduce worship, they introduce everything, the fourth point is that he caught the vision of what to do. He caught the vision. In the place of prayer, God shows us things by pictures. He shows us things by impressing things on our mind. And that's why I encourage most of the times now that when you pray, don't just pray half-heartedly. Just pray, have your pen and paper ready. For some people, they have trained themselves, even in their car, anywhere, they have writing documents, paper. So if any idea drops, and I will tell you, most of the time I've lost idea, divine ideas. I will say, okay, I'm ruminating on it in my mind, but when I now get to a place of safety that I want to write, I won't remember again. I say, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. So, but to avoid that, sometimes you wake up very early in the morning, and it's so strong on your heart. In between when you have to take your bath and come back and say, let me settle him, most of it, you have lost it in transit. So it happens to everyone. But hey, this man caught the vision. And that's why Habakkuk encourages, you must write it. Write the vision, make it plain, so that everyone who reads it, everyone who sees it can know that you are running with something that is beyond the natural. So, he had a vision of what to do. The fifth point, he walked in the light of that divine idea, which is contrary to the usual things about warfare. God didn't say in their story, he didn't say get the army ready. Oh, purchase more AK-47. Purchase all these rocket launchers, no. Or acquire, He said, set the singers. So, there was an instruction. So, when we pray, we should look out for what to do. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have him. He's mighty in us.
I mean, in Romans 8:26, I think if you can give us in Amplified, I don't mind. I think that will put in context what just dropped in my heart. He said, in the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us. For we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself, so he's a person, he lives on the inside of you, knows our needs and at the right time intercedes or make petition on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Not every time I want to pray that I have the energy to pray. I don't know how it happens to you, but hey, if you can just learn to lean on it, whether that has happened to you, it has happened to me. Line upon line, I regain strength and I'm able to pray through that situation of life. So, he walked, he caught the vision of what to do, then he walked in the light of it. He didn't just put it. So, action must be put to our prayers. The faith without work is what? Is dead. So he walked in the light of that divine idea. The next point is that he walked out a plan. 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 People call it goal setting. But hey, there must be a plan. If you are petitioning God on any issue, there must be a plan. Because when God is going to answer your prayer, he probably most of the time respond with a detailed plan. This is the way to go. This is how to do it. This is how what you must do differently. It may still even be the same thing, but hey, this is how to do it differently. So he got a plan. He worked out the plan. And then seventh point there, he got the victory. He got the victory. He got the victory. He got the victory. So we can engage this principle in our preparation for those seven things in our preparation for 2020. Is that believe the Lord your God? So there must be a word. We've had the word. 2020, the word of the Lord that we are running with is Psalm 138 verse 8. Can we read it in many translations that you can get? Not just two this time around. Psalm 138 verse 8. It says, and it's the year of divine perfection. So it says, the Lord will accomplish that which concerns me, your unwavering loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. My life can be an abandoned project in the hands of God. You can never mismanage my life. He has a plan for me. And you know, that's conversation. He said, your Lord, you, O Lord, will always treat me with kindness. It's a year to enjoy the kindness of God. He said, your law will never fail. He said, you have made us what we are. Don't give up on us now. I mean, you can take that up. Lord, I know this business may probably be struggling in this area, but hey, for this year, as I believe you for 2020, I want your breath over this business. And then he begins to tell you what to do to make a difference because he is not committed to abandon you now. This one says, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Any other translation, please? He said, finish what you have started in my business. Finish what you have started in my family. God, your love is eternal. Don't quit. God doesn't quit on us, so we can't afford to quit on him. The next one, I need three more. He said, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you have begun in me. Two more. The Lord will work out his plan for my life. For your loving kindness, Lord, continues forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. One more. Lord, you do everything for me. Lord, your love continues forever. Do not leave us whom you made. Can someone get their phones? There are other translations that, like NET. Have we done Passion this morning? Okay, NET.
What does he say? NET translation. Anyone wants to help us? We couldn't get to buy yet. Okay. Can you? The Lord avenges me. Oh Lord, your royal love endures. Do not abandon those who you have made. If you have seen those various translations, the word killed, quit, or abandon, it's a word that is played out for us. And you can use that in your prayer conversation. And don't use it from the context of, you know, sometimes people are overwhelmed and they are just crying. No, use this from the context that you know your right in Christ Jesus. If you are crying, you must be seen. Otherwise, you hit your head against a wall. So there is already a problem. So it's not the crying that will resolve it. It is in the release of the power of God into that situation. So, principle for effective prayers, that's the digit I was talking about. If you go into the interior, when people want to ask you for your phone number, you say, can I have your digit? For me, digit. You know, there are assurances to this digit. Jesus gave us that assurance. In Matthew chapter 7, let's look at the assurance first. Assurance.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,